the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind. Hey everybody, this is Roy Richardson, the Tech Troll Maker, and tonight I am so excited. I have a guest on, Steve Worthy. We're going to introduce him in just a sec. We're going to talk about how to make a podcast. So many people keep asking me, how do I make a podcast? And so tonight, we're going to give you the details that you need in order to make a podcast. And so, in helping me do this is none other than Steve Worthy. And Steve Worthy is host of Podcasters Live YouTube channel, which you absolutely need to go to. So let's just say this is Podcast 101, and Steve's going to help you with the 102 course and the advanced course. So, hi, Steve, how you doing tonight?
Dude, I am stoked. I am stoked, man. I mean, you know, you and I, we've actually kind of been on this journey. You know, I think we kind of started together in August, I think. Was it, Lita, in August?
April. Wow, yeah.
Right? So it goes back to there. We've kind of seen each other kind of grow and do this. And I've been a massive fan for everything that you do, man. So I'm excited to be here.
I'm a massive fan of you. So that's why I was like, I got to get Steve on the show because, man, you know, can he talk this up and, like, you know, get people excited about podcasts. So
let's do it.
Steve, how did you get started podcasting? You've got your retail show that you do, and now you're striving so much to help other podcasters get going. So how did you get started?
You know, my podcast journey actually started a while ago. It was actually 2007. Wow. A buddy of mine, we worked together, and we were doing, we both had side businesses, and at the time we were both married at that time, and we started a company, a show, it was called For Husbands by Husbands. And what we did was that we actually kind of helped husbands kind of balance that idea of being a husband and an entrepreneur. And we were doing it on Blog Talk Radio at the time. But the CEO of our company, he said, "Hey, have you guys ever heard of podcasting?" And we were like, "No, like, what's that?" And so he introduced us to podcasting. And we kind of, just like, you know, a lot of people do nowadays, we stripped the audio and actually created an RSS feed. And then we just started pushing it out there. And so my podcast journey kind of started there. Then we stopped that around 2011. And I just been still a massive fan of it, watching it. Actually did some producing, you know, in the interim till I started my own stuff back again as well too. So it's been actually really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. And I kind of started my journey back in 2017 with a podcast called the One-Off Technology Podcast. Mm-hmm. And I did that faithfully for about 2 years. And then I took a really, really, really long break, which I should not have done. And then I started back last year with season 3, which was really sad because season 2, I had so many people listening, and then you quit and you lose everybody. You know, they didn't tell them I was leaving, I was quitting or anything. And then started with season 3. And so my numbers are starting to come back up to where they used to be. So I'm really happy about that. I still got some work to do, and I'm getting ready to start my season 4 here in another week. So anybody that's watching, yes, season 4 is about to start. I know I didn't tell you when it was going to start, but it's getting ready to start. So
there you go. Definitely, you're holding the secrets. Don't stop holding those secrets back, man.
I know. And it's really not good to communicate with your listeners what you're going to do. So that's, consistency is key, and we'll kind of talk about that. So we're going to get started. We're going to talk about 6 things you need to know to start a podcast. And then if you stick around to the end, I'm going to demo live creating a podcast episode. And then I'll show you what my process is on my computer, how I kind of create it. So, and along the way, Steve and I are just going to talk about podcasting. And so pay attention, stick around. You're going to want to be here for this. So let's get started. All right. How to make a podcast. So here we go. So I like to say, let's go to the boards. All right. So the first thing you do when you start a podcast, and this is probably something, I don't know, you probably had a challenge. You probably don't have challenges with this. I had a challenge with this when I first started a podcast, but it's got to be something that you are passionate about. It's kind of like YouTube. It's got to be something that you can talk to anybody about. It whenever it gets quiet, you fill in every moment of quiet with a conversation about this topic because you're that passionate about it, because you've got to be able to keep on going. So, Steve, how do you keep motivated to keep doing your topic?
Ooh, man, 100% agree with you, right? It's about the topic, right? So when I first got back into podcasting, I started a podcast, and it was called The Worthy Podcast, which is super original. I'm not super creative. I feel like I have a pretty decent last name. And so I just said The Worthy Podcast. And it was arbitrarily about leadership, executive coaching, diversity. It was so many different things. And while the content that I was creating was good, the audience and the direction was wrong. And so I actually got a podcast coach. And one of the things that he and I sat down and talked about, we actually talked about my career. And we started talking about all the different things that I was doing, but my passion for leadership, and then, but also the industry that I was in, which was retail. And he said, hey, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, next week when we meet, I want you to come back with 13 episodes around retail leadership. And I was like, oh, dude, I don't want to do that. I want to do that later. Roy, I ended up coming back with them. When I sat down, I came up with 40 topics for the podcast. And it was like the sky had opened up, the seas, you know, parted, and birds are singing, all of that stuff, because I realized that this is exactly what I need to be talking about. I could talk about leadership and retail all day long. And so if you're out there thinking about your topic, I honestly feel like that's going to be something that you truly have to be passionate about. Like, I mean, you to the point where you probably piss your people, you know, your family off, because you're talking about it all the time. You're like, dude, seriously, stop it. Like, we're on vacation. Stop talking about people about retail. So you have to be passionate about the topic first and foremost, and keep it simple. We'll talk about the names and all of that stuff too.
Yeah, that's true. That is fantastic advice. All right, next up. Make a plan. As the saying goes, fail to plan, you plan to fail. So tell me about your planning process. How do you plan each episode?
You know, so it's grown over my journey, where I've initially started out just kind of talking about the topic. Now I try to solve a problem for the topic. Right. I try to actually look at a topic and then actually say, okay, well, what's the problem that I'm trying to solve for the listener? Because really, that's what they're coming to hear. They're coming to hear.
Wrong button.
There you go.
Sorry.
There you go. No worries, buddy. No worries. They're coming to hear, a solution to a very specific problem. At least for me, that's how I kind of address it. And so once I do that, I actually start with the problem. And then I start with maybe a little bit of a backstory, you know, relative to my experience or experiences that I've seen with someone else. Then I actually talk about potential solutions as well. But here's the one thing that I think people fail to do when they do a podcast, is that people have to see themselves, for me, in your solution, right? They actually have to be like, okay, Steve, how does this apply to me? You're telling me to do, have a conversation with people every day, all this other stuff. But how does that actually look like for me? And so I try to give them like a best case scenario, or almost like a North Star, saying, if you implement this, this is what it could potentially look like. The results can potentially look like. And then I do a close and then I go forward from there. So it's an identifying the problem, provide a solution, show them what it looks like for them within that solution, and then kind of move forward from there and do the closing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's really good. I like that. I like that a lot. next up, choosing a name. So this is a challenge. I had a hard time choosing the name for my first podcast. So first thing I suggest is go search Apple Podcasts to see if your name's unique. And while it doesn't have to be 100% unique, your listeners could be confused if it's too close to the name of another podcast. So for example, don't put Worthy in the name of the podcast. You don't want to get too confused.
Exactly.
I'm one of those people that I come up with a title and then I've got to build the whole concept to go behind it after that. So,
yeah.
But I'm also, I will over prep because everything has to be perfect, of course, and therefore it took me forever to get started originally. So, but yeah, you know, once you've done it, start doing it, it's just so much fun to keep it going, especially if you're having some results and people, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but build a community to come find your podcast. So,
yeah, you know, here's what I see when people try to name a podcast. They try to be too clever. They try to be super clever with it, and I tell you right now, it's not about being clever. As my friends over in the UK say, you know, they have this saying around something. They said it has to do what it says on the tin, right? Meaning like on the can. If it says soup, it should be soup. If it says tuna, it should be tuna. Same thing with your title. It should say exactly, you know, what your podcast is about. So The Worthy Podcast, no one knew what that was about. No one knew. It's like worthy. What does that mean? What is that? You know, it was just so like, you know, out there. But Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy, it's pretty simple. Podcasters Live, it's pretty simple. And I just try to make sure that it does what it says on the tin. So when you start to think about your name, don't be clever. Don't like, you know, butterflies and rainbows and like in you, but you're talking about cars or you're talking about, I don't know, like, stop being clever because no one will look at your stuff if you're trying to be too clever, because they're like, I have no clue what you're talking about. So just do what it says on the tin.
Yeah. We got a lot of, speaking of community, we're talking about community. Yeah, we got a lot of friends out there. Let's go check in. Sherry Jones out there, podcast OG. She's saying you're a podcast OG.
Oh man. Oh, too kind. She's too kind.
Gig Arts stopped by and saying hello to everyone listening here. And then Cher saying, fact is, worst restart after the extended break. Yeah, that was the worst. I regret having taken that break. But I had to retool and figure out how I wanted to do the podcast. And so that's just, don't go there. Once you get started, keep going. Trust me. Coulter says, show, don't tell. Absolutely.
Coulter, how you doing, big guy? Good to see you, man. Good to see you here.
Lala says, love that demo later, Roy. And I called, yes. So stick around. There's going to be a demo later. I'm going to show you. We're going to do a podcast live. And Coulter's shouting out to Lala. And then topic, yes, you've got to have a topic that you're passionate about. So, and then Coulter said, it took him forever to come up with a name for a live show. It is not easy because you're like, you know, you want it to be perfect, something that catches people's eyes and the people, you know, or ears and gets people going. So next up. Now, this is a question I get a lot. So if I do a podcast, do I need a website? And the answer is maybe. Some of the things I list and is it's not required to have a website for a podcast, but you might want one if you want to include more in-depth show notes. So there'll be links in my shows often, and well, it's kind of hard to read off www.youtube.com/techtroublemaker or podcasters live. But anyway, but if you could put those links in the show notes on whatever you're hosting with, and then also it's great to provide links for your guests or that you're interviewing to their Twitter or their Instagram or their YouTube, whatever it is that wherever they live and breathe and build their community at, so that you can get in touch with them. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It could be a single page with infinite scrolling. It's just something to put your stuff out there so people see it. But some of your hosting providers, which we'll cover later, will allow you to put a lot of that stuff already on their site, so you don't have to actually do show notes. Now, Steve, you've got a website going on behind podcasterslive.com. And I see it getting ready to go big with it. Beautiful design page, but I see you getting ready to coming soon.
It's got your
YouTube link, and it's got your Instagram, so people can go out and find you.
Yeah, man. No, I think so. With the website for a podcast, I do think I agree with you saying it's not required. So it all depends also on the purpose of your why behind your podcast, right? I think that's the fundamental piece that and foundational piece that a lot of people have to understand too, right? What's your why? If you want to do this as a ancillary piece for your business, right? So then a website will actually be, you know, beneficial for you, or you can actually make it just like I do with Worthy Retail U, we actually use Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy as another page for our podcast, because it's actually just part of our overall brand. But if it's just you and you're just trying to put the show out there, it's probably not, it's not overly necessary, but I just think it does help you with your internet footprint and what you're trying to do. And one of the things that we talk about with Podcasters Live is discoverability, right? And as you're going to demo tonight, you're going to show everybody, like, everybody thinks the number one problem, bless you. Everybody thinks the number one problem with podcasting is getting started. It's not, it's discoverability. And so the idea of you getting your podcast discovered is more likely if you have a, you know, more of a footprint from an SEO standpoint. So having a website could be beneficial in that context.
Yeah, because one of the things about having a podcast is that, you know, we were talking about this before the show, you can't just have a podcast out there and think people are going to find it. You have to promote it.
So. Yes, yes. And give them a place to go, right? I think that's the other thing. You can give them your all your social media stuff too, right? But I think also giving them a place to go that where they can actually, you know, connect with you, see your face, possibly join if you have a Facebook community or something like that, or possibly kind of join that so that they can learn a little bit more about you, the guy or the gal behind the mic, and what you got going on as well.
Yeah, I try to spare my listeners by not showing my face.
So. Oh, stop it, dude. Anyway. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, so here's another challenge.
Yeah.
It's show cover art. So going out there and trying to find cover art. And this is a lot like YouTube. You don't want a lot of words on there because it's this little bitty image. Usually in your podcasting app, whatever it be, Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or Spotify or Amazon Music or Stitcher. And so Apple standard art is a 1400 pixel by 1400 pixel artwork. And most of the others fully support that. So Apple was king. It was in the waiting pool first. And so therefore it kind of dictates a lot of stuff. And most people, when they used to say my podcast out on Apple, that was the only place until Spotify kind of joined the game.
Yeah.
And then some of the programs support having a different cover art every episode, but some don't. You wind up with the same cover art every single episode. I find Apple doesn't change my cover art like I want them to.
No, they don't.
The other
providers do. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of strange. I don't know why that is.
Well, that's because you said it earlier, though. You said because it's Apple. You know, they can do whatever it is they want to do, right? And to go back to the cover art piece, it's kind of like hand in glove with your title, right? So, and also your brand, right, that you're trying to do. Yeah. So, you know, consistency is going to be key, and to tie that all together. So when they see your artwork, they should be able to see Mommy Lala's, you know, and understand exactly, oh, that's Mommy Lala's right there. I get it. And so helping them understand that piece. The other thing, I actually do different, you know, for each episode, I do different artwork because I do want to tie it into the title. But it's still uniquely Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy. So you can look at it and you can still tell that it's our stuff, but the title coincides with the artwork coincides with the actual title as well. And we're in the final phases of finishing up our artwork for Podcasters Live. So we're going to be doing an audio podcast as well. So, you know, I'm being a little stickler with the artwork right now. Working with somebody, but they've been amazing, but we're trying to make sure that it all lines up as well too.
So what's the frequency of your podcast? What's it going to be? And how far in advance do you try to record episodes?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I truly wish I can say that I was as diligent as I want to be, with every week. And I do it, and I have been diligent for a little while for every week. But when I get into a recording mode, I typically record 2 or 3 episodes per recording. And then that kind of gets me ahead and that gives me a little bit of a buffer. And so with Podcasters Live, my thought is that I'm going to give myself a little grace. So I'm going to probably try to go every 2 weeks with that and make those kind of shorter episodes as well. But I'm telling you, man, here's the other thing too. And I just would let everybody know, like, podcasting is a job. It's no joke. It is like I'm just a let go. I'm gonna let my hair down. I don't have any hair, but I'm just gonna let it down. Let you guys know the truth. Like, it is work. It is not something for the faint of heart. And this is not a scare tactic, because I have podcasters live. So I want you to start a podcast, right? So that you can come to our, you know, website. I'm not doing that. My goal is to just help you understand the that it's a, here's what happens. Like, you and I were talking, Roy, about, you know, people want to put the podcast out there and they want all these downloads and they want all of that stuff. You got to, man, podcast is a long tail game. It is not 6 months. It is not 12 months to get big or whatever it is that you're trying to do. It's a long tail game. And I think, but I also think if you can stay in it longer, it builds so much more credibility for you over time for whatever it is that you're trying to do, because not everybody can do podcasting. And so when they see that longevity, there's something about it. They're like, dang, that Roy's been doing this for 2 years, 3 years. Like Pat Flynn, you and I were talking about Pat Flynn, right? He's been doing it for so long. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, Cher called me an OG. No, Pat's the OG, man. Yo, yeah. Seriously,
he's got 500 plus episodes. Of
come on, man.
Yeah, the income podcast that he does. Some more from our guest there. Lala says, now I think the name I've planned may need to be tweaked as per Steve's advice right now. So, and then Coulter, we're inconveniencing his dinner. I'm kidding.
A bad Coulter.
Getting called to dinner says, I'll catch you later, team replay. So, and then Mommy says, go enjoy dinner. But Coulter had a question. He said, yeah. Do you need to create content specifically for a podcast, or can you repurpose audio from videos, perhaps a podcast-specific introduction, outro? And the answer is yes, and we're going to talk about that some.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that some. So, and when I get to the part where we get to the end, we're going to cover that. So stick around, stick around. You want to see that? And Lala says she's interested in knowing as well. That same question, and then Tina says she does a weekly podcast. Need this much coffee. Yes, it takes a lot of coffee.
Yeah, Tina knows.
A lot of coffee to a podcast. So, yeah. All right, let's go back to the board. All right, so next up, we got our cover art. And now I want to talk about show format. So this is something that trips up so many people. This is part of your planning phase. You've got to figure out the order of your podcast. And to be totally honest, you may do it for a bit and you have to experiment and change up the format. But so, you know, the question is, do you start with the topic? So maybe you come on, you do an introduction, say, hey, tonight I'm going to talk about this. And then maybe you have a guest talk about the topic. Mm-hmm. You should perhaps always start with a teaser, a snippet of why or what your show is about. So you pull people in. This is almost like stopping the scroll, but this is an audio version of that where you're bringing people in. Hey, listen to my podcast. And this is what I'm going to talk about. And this is why it should be important to you and why you need to stick around. And then you could do a show intro. Maybe if you need music, if you think you do, you can go on Fiverr or other places and have someone compose a theme song for you. Then you welcome your listeners or your viewers, because we'll talk about a little bit. Introduce your co-host, or maybe if you're introducing a person, of course, you can have a podcast by yourself. I did that for season two of my podcast. Season one, I had a guest, and then season two, I didn't. And then season three, it was a mix. Some days I was by myself, and some days I had guests. You got to have a call to action. You know, say, hey, be sure to subscribe to my show or like my show on YouTube. And then you may want to have outro music. And I completely duplicated that. And so what kind of format run? So I do even my YouTube show, I do a run of show and I have it planned out how I'm going to do the whole thing. Steve, what's your kind of run of show for your podcast?
Yeah, man. It's once again, it's evolved over time, but it is very, I do try to do exactly, I think what you talked about earlier is draw people in. My show format is for both are going to be individual. It's actually a monologue. It's really just me, especially for Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy. Unless I bring, of course, I do a guest interview as well sometimes, and I'll bring that piece in as well. So it's almost a hybrid, so to speak, but it's probably about 70-30 me monologuing And it's the reason I do it that way is just because I just got so much in my head, man. I just got too much stuff up here, and I don't need another co-host to mess that vibe up, because because when you get into the recording process, and for me, sometimes even on my live streams, and something will come and click because I'll talk myself through something as I'm talking through an example. And I'm like, oh, by the way, you gotta get this one. And it's just like, it'll be something that I just needed to get out. That's very, it goes along with the theme. And so going and being by myself, it just benefits me. Now, when I do the interview piece is just for, of course, it's for the audience as well. But I do the little teaser at the very beginning to draw you in. I have a voiceover artist who actually does the intro for me, and I broke it up. I actually have a pretty deep voice. So I had a female voiceover artist. So she comes in after my lead in, and she breaks it up, and then she introduces me, so to speak. And then I kind of like let the music kind of continue to go, and then I start my little intro, if you will. And then I do transitions. So the other thing, it's almost like what you're doing right now with this live stream is breaking it up, right? I forgot the actual word that it's used. It's not point of view, but it's like pattern disruption.
There you go.
Pattern disruption. So when I'm doing the podcast and I'm going from like one point to the next, I typically have like a little, transition, a little or something like that, or a little bell or something like that, that's going to help you know that something different is about to happen. Because the tendency, I've heard so many podcasts, they just keep going. And it's like, dude, okay, what point are you on? And the other thing with podcasting is that you can break everything up into chapters too now. And so that's even more important for you to be able to break up your podcast and actually have a little piece of transition to let people know that something new is actually happening. And then you mentioned it also, and there's the call to action. What do you want people to do after they listen to this episode, right? If you are a person that's selling products or courses or something like that, maybe you're sending them there. Is it a newsletter that you're trying to develop? Make it simple, keep it plain. Don't give them three or four call to actions. That was the kiss of death for me when I first started.
Yeah.
I gave, hey, could you rate, subscribe, to my podcast. And then, by the way, go to our website. Oh yeah. And then our newsletter. It's like, dude, stop it. Go to worthyretailyou.com/now and they can pick, right? Maybe sometimes I get a little more specific if I'm talking about something, but I typically send them there, and then that kind of works for me when I do it that way.
Yeah. So speaking of call to actions, here's my call to action. Everybody hit that like button.
Yes.
Hit that like button on this episode to let YouTube know, hey, I want to see more stuff like this. So be sure to hit that like button out there. All right, let's go back to the boards. So this is where people get hung up. It's, oh, I want to do a podcast, and I don't know what gear I got to have, and I got to have the best mic and everything. And when I do my demo, I'm going to show you, no, you don't have to have the best mic. You'll see you already have the mic that you need already to get started. So just starting out, if you're doing it with a PC or that type of thing, you need a mic with a pop filter. Why? Because, all the popping sounds when we're talking. And then you need an app of some type that can record your audio. And so here's some things. So I've used it like a USB lapel mic, the warp gun adapter. You can actually, I have a USB lapel mic. Ah, I'm making a mess on my desk here, but that's okay. So anyway, yeah. Let me go here. I'll go. I hate to show my anyway. So this has a USB connector. I have an iPhone, so I have lightning on the end of it. And then I have a lapel mic right here. And you can just take this mic and plug it right into your iPhone. You can give it's USB-C if you had an Android. You can do the same thing with Android phones, or if it's a USB-B, that type of thing. So you can plug right into your phone and do it. So going back here, so if you have an iPhone, you could use GarageBand on your iPhone or iPad to record audio. If you have Android or iPhone, Anchor FM, which I'm not promoting Anchor FM per se, but we'll talk about that. Anchor is definitely an option. And then over time, you're going to want to upgrade to a better mic. You want to sound better. I started off my show with the Blue Yeti. Now, hang on. Don't bash on the Blue Yeti. Mm, I had the original Blue Yeti before Logitech messed them up. So mine sounded pretty good. Go listen to my episodes of my show, and you'll see it was pretty good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm always hating on the Blue Yeti. I know.
What happened? What is? I'm sorry. There's a glitch. I'm sorry. I forgot what you said.
So anyway, so if you're recording your podcast on a PC, Audacity is free software. It's mostly user friendly. It works on any OS that you run. And then, you know, many YouTube videos out there will tell you, there's a bunch of videos teach you how to edit with Audacity. So you don't even have to buy a training course. Just go off.
Yeah, I started with Audacity.
Audacity works. If you want just a simple USB mic.
Right off my iPad.
Yeah. It works. It works. Here's a reasonable, it's about $70 US. This is a Samsung Q2U. This is a very good sounding mic for the price. Mm-hmm. It's USB. It'll work with any PC or Mac that you have. I don't know if it'll work with an iPhone or mic or an iPad. Conceivably, with the USB, it could. This is also later if you graduate to XLR, which is a more pro audio format. This actually has a connector for XLR, so you could do that.
Yeah.
If you're on a Mac, again, Audacity is a good way to start out, but you could use GarageBand.
Yeah, Team Mac.
I'm Team Mac. You can use GarageBand on your iPhone. You can use GarageBand on your iPad. If you're an iOS person or a Mac person, GarageBand comes with a device and it works great. It has some great sound mixing capabilities. And you'll see later, I use GarageBand to edit my podcast. So
yeah,
I'll show you that. Now, if you're insane and you have to have the absolute best day one, if you have to start off day one and say, I've got to have the best possible, then go buy a Rodecaster Pro console for audio mixing. It's great. And then you got to have a Cloud Lifter XLR audio booster, because unfortunately, the next thing I'm going to tell you, the Shure SM7B, which really gives you that podcaster radio announcer sound, has to have a boost in order to make the audio loud enough to work well.
Yeah.
But it works. And then you want some type of boom arm, because you don't want to hold your mic. You want it on some kind of stand or a boom mic to use. You have the, I can't think of the name of the mic you're using right now.
The Lewitt 440. Yeah. 440 pure, yeah.
And that is an awesome mic, too.
Dude, listen to me, man. This is the mic that I started with when I started back podcasting. And this is the Rode NT-USB Mini.
Yeah.
And it has it actually just has USB. So this is the one I use to record right into my iPad. And this was only, this is $99. It's probably cheaper now. You can buy used stuff too. And the reason I started because previously did radio in college, a little bit in New York, and then doing the podcasting stuff. So I'm a big audio, and sound person, right? Growing up with, hip hop and all of that stuff, like the music and the beat and all of that stuff, as a kid, it just kind of ingrained in me. And so I wanted to start out with, really good audio, and then of course the content first, but then audio as well. One of the things we say with Podcasters Live is content is king, but audio is queen, and we know that women run stuff. So the audio piece is super important. But then the other thing that you can do too when you're going through this process is that you can set milestones for certain upgrades. So for me, the Rodecaster Pro was an upgrade after I hit so many downloads. The Shure SM7B, same thing. When I hit so many downloads, got my first client from my podcast, right? So the client pretty much paid for it, which was awesome. But you can set milestones for that. So you don't have to get all the stuff like Roy's talking about, at the very beginning, but you can work your way up to it. But making sure your audio is crispy is just tantamount to your success as a podcaster.
Even on YouTube, People yes, will put up 100%. With bad video before they put up mm-hmm. bad audio. That's just how it is. You've got to have good audio, even on YouTube and a podcast, of course, being completely audio. You absolutely have to have great sound. But you don't have to spend a fortune to do that. You can start mm-hmm. off with some mm-hmm. really low-end things. And say, you know, this is how you should do any accomplishment in life. Okay, if I hit this goal, I will buy this piece of equipment to reward myself for doing so well. Exactly. Or if I commit to this podcast and I consistently do so many weeks, you know, in a row, I'll let myself get this piece of gear. But you don't have to have all that gear. It's not required to do a podcast.
Your content is the most important part, dude.
Got some more comments out there. Of course, there's a conversation here about coffee. Tino's talking about you got to have coffee, and then Lala says she couldn't do coffee. She's gonna do water.
Okay, sorry, Lala. Yeah, me too. Sorry, Lala. I'll go, man. I need coffee. I gotta get coffee.
And it seems that Lala lives near Starbucks. So there you go. All right. And then Cher says, "Hey, I love the idea of having a hybrid format for my podcast, a mix of guests and solo shows." Yeah, that works really well. Hit that like button. Yep, please hit the like button here. And then after the show, not now, after the show, you have to immediately go over to Podcasters Live on YouTube and subscribe to their channel, because there's going to be a lot more good information there. And of course, I got to know when your podcast goes live, Steve. I absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I'm excited about it.
And then Lala says, "Can I start a podcast with just USB mic?" You yes. absolutely can.
Absolutely. This is a USB mic.
This is a USB mic.
Yeah.
This is the infamous blue Yeti.
Oh no! Don't bring that out. Don't bring that out.
No. I love that mic.
Anyway, I know.
So. And then Cher says, "Of course." That's right, ladies.
That's right.
We're the queen. Yeah. Samantha, how you doing? I caught a little bit of your show. Hey, I'm sorry Samantha. I couldn't stick around. But yeah, she was going to have a great show tonight. I want to go back and watch it because she said she was going to do something new, and I definitely want to see what she did new tonight.
I got to check it out.
And then Lala says hi to Samantha. And then Tina says hybrid is more sustainable. That's a great idea to share. Sometimes your laid out plans with guests don't go as planned. I've been very lucky. I've never had a, knock on wood, I haven't had a guest bail on me yet, but I kind of pace it out and try to give them advance notice and say, hey, you know, that type of thing. What are you doing? And so, yeah, I try to give them a lot of advance notice, but while there's still more, okay. Hey, Lala. So there's lots of shout outs. Podcaster Live is life. That's what Cher says. Yeah. And smash that like button. Yep. Don't forget to ring that bell. Yeah, ring the bell if you want. Yeah. You want to know when I'm going live. But I don't want to give you too many things to do. Mainly hit that like button. So. Yeah. Heather's out there tonight as well.
What's welcome up, Heather? Yeah. So how are you?
She is getting out there, going live, and
yes, she is.
She's
doing
a lot of promotional stuff on Instagram. So. Yeah, we got to go learn from her how to do.
Yeah, Heather, I owe you an email because I'm gonna bring Heather on Podcasters Live because we're gonna talk about content creation. Like she actually helped me with my pillars for retail leadership with Steve Worthy. So, and this was like a while ago when I was just trying to figure out the pillars for that, and we went through this process, and she helped me out tons with that.
Yeah. And Samantha everywhere today. Yep. And then she says that, Steve, you can say anything and people will listen to that voice. And it's true. You definitely have a podcaster's voice, Steve. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that. No, let me stop.
I had to cheat and had to get a mic to give me some podcaster sound. So let's talk about, where do you host your podcast? So a lot of people will ask me, don't you just put it out there on Apple? Yes and no. Apple does not host your podcast for you. It doesn't. It's just Apple and Spotify and Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher. They're all podcast directories.
Right.
They are literally podcast directories. So they don't store your podcast. You have to go and create it somewhere and upload it somewhere. And then you go and you list it out on Apple and these other podcasting directories so that people can find it.
Correct.
And so you have to find your own way of hosting it. Some charge money, some will do it for free. You know, for example, if you did a podcast daily, it would cost you a lot. It could cost you a fair amount of money. You know, there's some podcasts that literally go daily. So you want to find the right company to host your podcast. And we're going to cover, I'll talk about, then there's an RSS feed. So if you're wondering, what's an RSS feed? So whoever your hosting provider is, they will probably do the RSS feed for you. It stands for really simple syndication. And this is how it basically has the metadata. So the descriptive data about your podcast and also a link to where your podcast MP3 file is located, as well as where your graphics are. And so it then shows up on Apple Podcasts. It shows up on Google. So here's a snippet. It's an XML file, extensible markup language. So for your programmer types, hey, you know what I'm talking about? If you're not a programmer type, don't worry about it. You don't need to know this. If your provider usually takes care of this for you. So,
Roy, you would put that up there, man, because you are such a tech dude, man. You put the art. Go back to that real quick. You put the.
Well, yeah. That's
awesome. But here's the thing that I appreciate it because understanding what an RSS feed does. But the cool part is that it fits right into your show, right? Because you're a tech troublemaker, and it just fits right into it, dude. So
I have to go to 11. You know, it's just one more than 10, so I have to go to 11. I have to show the detail. That's one problem I have in my recorded videos. Is I go a little bit too much detail, so I have to back away because not everybody wants to know as much as I want to know. So here's one of many podcast host services. I'm going to mention three. I'm not married to any of these. My approach is totally different. But Steve's got one that he uses and really likes, so we'll hype that up when we get to him. Anchor FM is owned by Spotify. So Spotify went big on podcasts because they wanted to compete with Apple. And so they bought Anchor FM, and Anchor FM will host your podcast for free. Mm-hmm. And if you start gaining a following and listeners start giving money or sponsorships, Anchor FM takes a portion of the proceeds. So that's the downside to Anchor FM, is that they take a percentage when you start making money, when your podcast starts getting monetized, whether you're having sponsors or advertisers. And then they don't have a lot of tools to help you create. They have a decent amount. I'd kind of say that, they have some tools. You'll see here in a little bit. When I do my demo, I'm going to use Anchor FM to do the demo on my phone. So, and then Buzzsprout. So, Steve, I know you use Buzzsprout. What's your feeling about Buzzsprout?
Yeah, listen to me, man. I love Buzzsprout. So they host Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy, but I will probably be using another one for Podcasters Live just to try something out. The reason I like Buzzsprout is because all of them, the guys and gals who actually work there, a lot of them have podcasts. I'm not saying that the other ones don't have podcasts, but they are really innovative in all the different tools and the industry of podcasts, right? It's not just a hosting site that they're just going to put stuff up there and just like push your stuff out there. Like, they are embedded in the actual podcasting community. So much so that they're thought leaders as it relates to subscriptions. It's not subscriptions. Transcriptions. Right. So they were at the forefront of actually kind of pushing that agenda and that accessibility piece as well. Chapters. Right. They're the one of the ones that actually kind of helped, you know, people kind of understand more so the benefit. So they teach, coach, and train you as a podcaster as you're kind of going through this journey as well. But I just love the user interface is super simple as well. I mean, you can get so much done when you actually upload your podcast. They also have a mastering. I don't use it. I'll use all Phonics, but they have you can upload your podcast and then I think it's called Magic Mastering, which is that they just help the levels, of your podcast, and they bring it up to industry standards. And they just have so many really good benefits that I've been able to kind of partake in. So they've been my podcast. Actually, I lied. I did start with Anchor when I first started. I think I put two episodes out on Anchor and I was like, it wasn't for me. And so I found Buzzsprout and I have been using Buzzsprout like ever since.
Yeah. So let's talk about, so I cheat. I use Audacity and I use a Levelator in order to kind of level my podcast. But what's explain mastering so our you know, everybody understands what that is.
Yeah, so the industry standards typically for a podcast is, and I'm gonna, I forgot what the word LUFS stands for, right? But it's negative 16 LUFS. It's a noise volume level that is pretty much used for podcasting. And so when you're recording your podcasting, when your podcast, it all depends on the sound quality of your room, the treatment, and all these other things. And so your level could be at a, let's just say negative 12 LUFS. Right. So the mastering piece will actually bring it up to that level, to the 16. The other side of it, too. So if you're not doing this when you're editing, right, I use a Hindenburg Pro. So typically, sometimes if it's you and a guest, sometimes let's just say they're a very soft talker and they're just really quiet and things like that. But you're kind of loud and boisterous a little bit. What happens is that the magic mastering will actually raise the level of your guest to actually meet yours. So that way there's not this, you know, hey, how are you doing, to this, hey, how are you doing type of deal from your podcast. So it levels it out for you kind of across the board. And it's, you know, I know, Roy, you're laughing because, but you know, you've heard podcasts like that too, where somebody's super loud and then other person like super quiet. You don't want that. That's a horrible listening experience. And so when you're trying to make sure that you're trying to get people's attention, you want to make sure you have that leveling correct.
I've had YouTube episodes like that where I had a guest on and I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. I can't fix it live, but okay. So anyway, Buzzsprout does have a free tier, but you can only do like 2 hours per month. And they only store your podcast for 90 days. So be aware, 90 days up and it's gone. Yeah. But their pro tier is like $24 and they'll do up to 12 hours a month and unlimited storage. So you have to figure out, part of your planning, how often are you going to go and do your podcast? Where like Steve's right. talking about doing every other week. There's some people do every day. There's some people do once a month. That's the other part, is consistency. Telling your listeners when you're going to do the podcast so they can expect it. My listeners expect me to release my podcast on Wednesdays.
Right.
And so I have to consistently do that. Or I have a couple of people that know me in real life and they'll send me a message to, hey, Roy, where's the podcast?
Yeah.
another option that a lot of folks use is Podbean. A little more reasonable in cost if you buy the yearly plan. And just Buzzsprout and Podbean both help you get listed in the directories.
Oh, Apple Podcasts. It's one click.
Yeah.
It's one click. It's literally one click. Yeah. Your RSS feed, it's already just, you click it and it's uploaded to it takes some time. It takes like 24, sometimes 48 hours for it to show up, but it's super simple.
Yeah. GigArt says, too many call to action. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just need you to like. Just like it. And then in the show notes, I'll have the link to go click on go to the
That's
YouTube
funny.
Channel. So.
That's funny.
And then Heather says, thanks for the shout out.
Absolutely.
And then Samantha says, hi, Tina. And then Giga says, hi to Samantha. And then let's see. What is the best podcast host for beginners? That depends. You got to figure out, again, how many podcast episodes you're going to do a month, because a lot of them base storage off how many they're going to store. It could be that Beansprout is what you need because you want to use all the cool tools. You like how simple they make. It could be Anchor FM being free is just enough. It's just exactly what you need. And you can start with one and move later. It's not fun, but it is very doable. And you can do it. It's just a matter of getting your RSS feed up to date so that they, as you send it in, they figure out, oh, everything moved here.
Yeah.
So it's very doable.
It is doable. I'm actually, as I said earlier, maybe I'm actually thinking about moving over to Captivate.fm. They're not a new player, but Mark Atswith, he's the CEO. Great guy. They're also part of the thought leadership, if you will, from a hosting site standpoint, with, you know, they have dynamic insertion, all this other stuff. But one of the things that they do, which is going to be unique to me, is because they allow you to host as many podcasts as you want under that one tier. You know, after you hit a certain number of downloads, you have to go up another tier or whatever. Where Buzzsprout, and this is first world podcast problems. With Buzzsprout, you have to have separate accounts, but with Captivate, you can have 3 or 4 different podcasts if you want under that one account. And it's actually cheaper if I do it that way. So, like I said, for me, the use case is probably going to be a little bit different. Plus, they do everything that Buzzsprout does, and they just got bought out by a big company, Global. And so they're going to be pouring a lot of money into them. So that means that they're going to be, really, really innovating over time as well.
Hey, and Giga says she thought I was going to go through every line of that code.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Makes sense about the same levels. Yes, you want your audio at the same levels. You have a guest. You want you and the guest to be at the same level. So it's all in. And Colter, shout out to Heather. So going back to the boards. So,
yeah, go for it.
All right. It's live demo time. So if you waited till the end of the show, you're here now. I'm gonna do a live demo. So let's. I'm not showing you that. You don't say, "Hey, he's gonna do a live demo." Yeah, here you go. All right. So through the magic of software, because that's what I'm all about. Let's get this going. Yeah. All right. So let me change up. Reflector. All right, here we go. Don't look at the code, y'all. No, I'm kidding. You have to be on my network. No, it's complicated.
I know, right? Exactly.
All right. I use Reflector to broadcast my phone. So, Anchor. All right. So, this is the Anchor.fm app on my iPhone. It works on Android, same way. And literally here at the bottom, it is, hit tools and it's ready to record. And you can just use literally the mic in your phone to do this, or you can plug in the lavalier mic that I showed you earlier. Ta-da! Anyway, so I'm just going to do it right on the phone so I can get started because I'm already behind schedule. Hey, this is Roy Richardson, Tech Troublemaker, and welcome to the Tech Troublemaker Live podcast. And each week I'm going to talk about tech stuff because that's what I do. And if you like that kind of stuff, you should hit that button that lets you get notified about every episode I do. The end. All right. So all right. So now I can go to trim. And so turn my phone this way so you can actually trim. So I know, all right, I'm going to get rid of that first part because we knew that was just me talking. Let's see where I'm at. And I'm probably going to want to trim right in there. But anyway, so there I can go. Actually trim the show right here. Start here. Nope, I don't want to do that. Nope, undo. I don't want to do that because that was fine. All right, so let's play around with editing. I didn't play around with the slot because I really want to do it live so you'd see. Let's make the mistakes together. So then I save it. Oh, let's save. All right, so I saved, and then you can add background music. I did go play around the background music. I found one I liked. Zeppelin. Okay, add it. All right, so save. And add to the episode. All right. Okay, yep. Okay. So now I play it. It'll have the music in the background behind the audio that I just did as soon as it gets through processing. And then if I were ready, I could literally hit the publish button and then go to the next step and tell it, hey, this is the name of my podcast. And it would be live, and then you can go and say, go out and tell Apple about it. So you may have to go to Apple Podcast and like set up an account first, but then you'll tell it and say, okay, I know where your account is, and it'll get you set up. And so it's that simple. You can just get started with it.
Nice.
Now, my process, Now, my process on my computer is different. And so I'm going to go and show my whole screen. Hang on. Da-da. This is the part where I'm showing my whole screen. All right. We'll come back to that. I'm going to shout that. So I actually use, and there's going to be some echo when I get this started. I actually use Audacity. Hang on. This is when technology happens live, and now you can hear GarageBand trying to help me with my audio. So hang on, I'll fix that. All right. Primary display. There we go. Okay. This is Audacity. And hang on, let me turn GarageBand off. That's what happens you do live. Live is live, y'all.
That's it. All right.
So Audacity is a great program. I literally can tell it what mic I'm using. So I have a Shure MV7. I can hit the record button and record my podcast. I can then set up a different track with a theme song. So if I have a theme song, I can go to a different track and I can add that theme song in to start at a certain point. And that's just, how it goes one by one. Hang on here. Let's get me and Steve in the mix here because we dropped off the party somehow. And so that easy. Here we go. There's Steve. Hey, Steve's here helping me now. So Audacity is one option. You can use it on your PC. You can use it on a Mac. It's a great program. But here's what I do. So I actually take my YouTube live stream that I do each week, and then I use a program that came with Ecamm, which is a software I use, by the way. Shout out to Ecamm. Great software, by the way. It's the best streaming software for Mac. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm not paid to say that. I know, right? But it's great stuff. So I use the software Ecamm Movie Tools, and it will go and export out the audio off of my movie file. So here's my show, and it will go and pull the audio off of it. And then I open up GarageBand, which I'm sorry about the echo. It's going to happen.
I'm digging that shirt though, Roy, too, that you got, that you're wearing in that,
another
in that video.
Shirt.
Too.
Yes, somebody told me I should get. Anyway, let me turn the audio down. Oh, hang on, I don't want really to do it. Anyway, so I go in here, I can mute the track there. All right, so I use this. I will drop the audio right in here. I have a track where I have my intro, and I will put the intro in here. And then when I'm done, I do this different than everybody else. I actually go and publish my, I'll take this, hang on there, many things. I will go and export this out when I'm done. Go share, export song to disk. And then I will take that MP3 file and bring it into Audacity. And it's recorded in stereo by default, so I'll go and drop it to mono. That reduces the file size. And because the music goes out of left to right channels anyway, mono is perfectly fine. And then I will upload it to, I have an Amazon S3 storage. I will upload it there. Cost me about 7-8 cents a month. After all these years of uploading podcasts, even though I have a bunch of people watching, listening to the show, it's super cheap storage. And then, of course, this is not how you should do it. Only technical people who are crazy should do it the way I do it. But I'm just explaining my process. And then I have a plugin, that called Blueberry that then creates the RSS feed to upload into Apple and everything else. So I have a WordPress site with a plugin, and then I use that site to host.
So you do your own RSS feed though.
I do my own RSS feed.
So that's why you have these steps in this process. Yep. Okay.
I figure out the hardest way to do something, and then that's the way I choose to do it.
I was going to say, you know, there is a simpler way, but that's okay.
There are easier ways to do it, but that's my way. And no so, worries. And I don't recommend doing it my way. So that's just how crazy people do it. I'm like always looking for a technical, because I didn't want to pay a hosting provider when I knew I could do it so much cheaper myself. So instead of paying somebody $9, $10, $24 a month, I store them in Amazon S3, which, on the back end, that's what they're doing anyway. They're storing your stuff on Amazon or Google.
Right. Yeah. So, exactly. I think the two, I think that, because it always goes back to like your why and your use case. Because I wasn't going to do the RSSV myself, right? But I was like, because I'm not as technical as you are, dude. Like you're super brilliant, man. I can't do all of that stuff. I know my limitations. But for me, it was like, man, if I can get like, once again, my stuff is from a business standpoint. If I can get one client, and this was my goal. If I got one client like a year from my podcast, they paid for everything. Like that's that client. Like yes. They paid for the hosting, they paid for, Hindenburg Pro, they, you know, microphone, they literally did. And so for me, it was just like, man, so I pushed and pushed and pushed. And I got that, when I got that first client, you know, hey, how did you hear about me? How did you come to me? Oh, it was your podcast. Like that's what I'm talking about. So yeah, so I didn't, man. Yeah, I made it. I took it easy on myself, man. I wasn't, you know, I did less Roy. I didn't go full Roy.
Well, you know, I have to figure out the cheapest way to do something, but it also winds up being the hardest way. So you're absolutely right. There are so many other ways to do it that are so much cheaper. Well, so much labor, less labor, because producing a podcast is hard enough without adding those extra steps. But to me, I got so used to doing it, it just
works. And you edit your, and then the other part, I don't know if we were going to talk about this one or not, but like you edit your own podcast too.
I do.
So that's a whole nother piece that people have to think about too, is the editing process of their podcast. And that's labor intensive too, man. So that's what I was trying to say. That's not for the faint of heart.
Now, the interesting thing I thought is when I started, so back in April of last year, I started doing my live stream on YouTube and then taking the audio from that and making my podcast. And when I first started, I edited out anything that I thought was too visual to be on the podcast. And strangely, people don't care. I stopped editing that out. Instead, I go out and get rid of my ums and the fact that I like to say the word so many times. I edit that out so it doesn't sound like...
Why do you edit that out? Edit that out.
I'll leave some for it to be natural, but sometimes I say so often, it has to go.
Okay. All right.
It's a nervous word. It's one of my nervous words, and so I have to edit that out. And so it's funny, but I keep getting more listeners, even though I'm just taking the live stream and putting my intro at the beginning, my outro at the end, and I'll do a little bit of doctoring in the middle to kind of shorten up anything where it's real quiet, to kind of take out big, you know, because sometimes on a live stream, we have quiet moments where technical glitches happen. So I get rid of that.
Right, right.
And then I upload it, and people are listening and commenting and reaching out to me on Twitter and or in person and or texting me if they know me that well. And so, I'm, you know, so you too can take your live stream and turn it into a podcast. And I'm going to do a later video about it. And when I do, let's see which way... I'll have a link right here. I can't point to it right now. Forget it. But there'll be a link to it. You'll see.
Classic YouTube. It's going to be, the link will be right here. You're the classic YouTube thing.
So anyway, and mommy said live demo, yay. And then my wife says yes, Roy can be the hard way. But he always gets us where we're going. Haha. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway. Thank you so much for being on the show. Do you have any last thoughts, man, we should share with everybody?
Ooh, no, man. I think the biggest thing when you're thinking about starting a podcast, it really is your why, right? Why do you want to do this? Who are you trying to connect with? What's your audience going to be? And then whenever you're thinking about your content, and once you come up with your why, your title and all that other stuff, you also have to think about your audience in the context of like your content should be helping them solve a problem or moving them forward through something, because they came to you for a reason and they're looking for answers. They're looking for something that they can take away and apply daily. Like right after they hear your content, what's something that they can actually do with your content and implement in their life? Right, because we don't have time. There are too many things vying for our attention: YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all these different things. And so you have to make sure that people are listening to your content and that you're giving them something to take away that they can implement into their lives, like right after your podcast. That will actually cause them to listen to more of your content and to share it. When people start to share your content, I feel like that's the gold standard, as it comes to marketing. It's almost like word of mouth. But when people start to share, Tech Troublemaker stuff, right? I know Roy's like, dude, that's awesome. Like, people like my stuff so much that they're sharing it. But you got to make your stuff shareable. And the only way you're going to do that is to have a strong why within your podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Steve, for being on the show. Let's see. I got one more comment. Man. Let's see. Coulter says, more on live stream podcasts, please. Yes. definitely, if you go to Podcasters Live's YouTube channel, they talk about that. I do have a video coming up very shortly that's going to talk about that in great detail. I'm going to do the technical side, and Steve's going to talk about the dynamic side, the side that, all the work that goes into it in front of the camera and behind the mic. And I'm going to talk about how you take that content after you've got it and put it out there for the world to see. So anyway, yeah. So I'll get to you, Coulter. I will have that video. It will show up in the channel here in the next 2 weeks. You'll see it. So I'll have it out there. And definitely want to talk about that. So
yeah, man.
Steve, thank you again so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. This has been episode 5 in season 4. I'm sorry I've kind of let the due date slip around. I'm trying to get back to releasing every Tuesday, but life happened, and that's how it went. So thank you so much.